Hallelujah. Well, praise God. The Holy Spirit this morning wants us to think about having a new and a fresh beginning. Yes, by beginning with a new and a fresh vision of Jesus as Son of God and Son of Man. A new vision of Jesus, a new revelation of Jesus, and a new understanding that Christianity is all supernatural. What do I mean by that? Christianity. Everything about Christianity is supernatural because the gospel is designed to overturn the natural state of affairs in every area. And this is what makes Christianity all supernatural. We have been looking at our inheritance. And we realize that our inheritance, that God has made us able, as Colossians says, he has made us able to be a partaker of our inheritance. And in Hebrews 1:4, it says that God made Jesus better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Let's think about this. This is the inheritance Jesus received for his work. A more excellent name. Our inheritance, we have inherited the name. We have to believe in the name. The man at the gate called Beautiful, who was healed by, as Peter spoke to him, Peter said, it's faith in the name that gave this man strength in his ankle bones and his legs, that delivered him from being crippled. So we need to believe that this is our inheritance. We have inherited this name. And the day of Pentecost, the power of attorney to use that name was in full operation. And we can use the name. We have the power of attorney to use the name. But we can't just use a name if we don't believe in the name. So we need to actually believe in the name. Philippians 2:9, 10, 11 says, wherefore God has highly exalted Jesus. He has given him a name which is above every name. It's above every sickness. It's above every disease. And it's above the name of every circumstance and situation. It is above. And Jesus has been exalted by this name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess to things in the earth and things under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When I think about these things, I have to think about what is it that causes these truths to emerge? What is it that makes it more than just a mental fact that we agree to, that it is the truth? what actually activates these truths? Well, the answer is found in 2 Timothy, verse 6. Paul says, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the laying on of my hands. That I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit. And I have to stir him up. I have to move upon myself. To call forth the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of power, the Holy Spirit, a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. As we stir ourselves up, stir ourselves up to use the name of Jesus. Say, I stop this in the name of Jesus. I release you from your affliction in the name of Jesus. To such a degree that our beliefs have to be hidden in habit and in outlook. And this is what I've seen through the years. It is not the habit of most Christians to exercise their authority. It is not the habit of most Christians to stir up the gift of God, the giving of the Holy Spirit, or the gift that was given to them by the laying on of hands. It's just not their habit. But when it is hidden, Christ in you, the hope of glory, when he is hidden in you as a habit, it's a habit that just keeps coming out, or an outlook. It's an outlook. Then he is hidden well. He is a hidden treasure. He is the hidden resource of our life. We hold the hidden powerful meaning of his name within us. And this is how we look out on all situations. From that which habitually is working inside of us. And it will never become habitually working inside of us unless we do stir up the gift. And understand that when we feel flat, we have to do something to elevate ourselves above that flatness and begin to preach to ourselves and tell us how wonderful it is that we have inherited such a name. Peter was just so easy and habitual for him to say, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give you. That's a stirred up response to a person who is in need. His response was well stirred. And it was habitual. It was just right there, and it was his entire outlook on the situation. Now, we can use this as a little model for ourselves. When we take a look at a situation, what exactly is that outlook? And in what way are we stirred? In the name of Jesus, let us give ourselves over to it. Because the gospel tells us that The Christian disciple of Jesus is a spontaneous person. He spontaneously exercises the gospel. If we do not spontaneously exercise the gift of our inheritance, we are going to be dull. And we are dull for the main reason, because we are timid. God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Our spirit should be like the Holy Spirit. And so, to not be timid, I need courage. And courage comes from stirring. When you stir yourself up, you have courage to step into that situation or that sickness or disease in a whole new way. Stirring you up gives you courage. You watch people that have to do some kind of a physical thing. They have to stir themselves up to get up to do it. And so it is in the spirit realm too. We need courage. And there's no such thing as courage that has not stirred up the gift of God. So stirring yourself up with the gift of God, what does it impart to you? Courage. And what do we need courage for? We need courage to take from God what he's already offered us. We need the courage to take it and say, it's mine. We need the courage to pay the price. And of course, the price is surrender. And so we need courage to pay the price to take the gift. We can't take the gift unless we have the courage to surrender. What happens when we do this? Well, it causes a whole shift in our life, from self-sufficiency to God's sufficiency. I like that testimony this morning that Jerry gave. It is a testimony of God's sufficiency. Also, with the courage, as we stir up the gift of God in us, we have courage to face the world with this most appropriate gift of God. We have courage to face the world with the Holy Spirit. And we have the courage to believe that the Holy Spirit is the one and only way in which we can face the world. And this is the strong man's gospel. It's the gospel that will meet every need and say so. Even when others are trying to work in some other way, we have the courage to say, this is the way to do it. Courage is a very important asset when it is centered in the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of your ministry. I'd like to say, watch whatever you're doing. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, what is the work of the evangelist? To preach the gospel. So, we may not be in the office of evangelist, but we can all do the work of an evangelist. One never knows where the preaching may come in. Jerry preached this weekend to a co-worker, and so she did the work of the evangelist to give the good news of what God is doing. So, we will do the work of an evangelist, and in this way, we'll make full proof of our ministry. People say, well, I don't think I have a ministry. Everybody has a ministry. Everybody has a ministry. And everybody is called to minister. Make full proof that you too are a minister and that you are a recipient. And when you make full proof of your ministry, you prove that you are a recipient of your inheritance. This is what you are proving, that you are a recipient. I believe that such needed examples are very overdue in the world. I believe that it is necessary for people to see the truth in action. I believe it's necessary for people to hear that the truth prevailed for them. For in these things, glory is given to the Lord. And Jesus lives anew and afresh in every one of us. And it gives other people an opportunity to look at Jesus anew and afresh. I think this morning about the two titles that Jesus used, Son of God and Son of Man. As Son of Man, he proved what man can do with the help of God. Let us not forget the exalted position of Jesus and how we were exalted into that position in him. In him, all situations can bow before the presence and belief in him, to the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Amen.